and welcome to the Pop and Bottles Dadcast. I'm Ben.
I'm Nick.
And, God. Okay, Alright. Okay. See, this is what I was nervous about. I wasn't sure how exactly I was gonna start going into it without just sounding like a dick straight from the off. We are now in the first couple of days of President-elect Donald Trump. It doesn't really roll off the tongue, does it?
No.
Okay.
It's so surreal.
Yeah.
And like it's hard to believe. In a lot of respects, I walked into work yesterday just like not knowing. Like I felt like I did not know
what to do.
What to do? Like I was like, this doesn't feel like our. Like I hate to say it, our country just felt so messed up,
filthy,
and it is
felt dirty.
So, yeah. But what I'm going to preface our entire episode with this.
Yeah.
I understand why so many people voted for him.
Right. Yes.
And I know that there's a lot of, like, there's the notion that if you voted for him, you're automatically racist, misogynist, you know, homophobic, all of that.
Right.
And to an extent, do I believe it? Yes, to a certain extent, I do. Because if you're okay with putting that into, you know, the White House, then you have to...
You have to be able to level with that on a point. You have to be able to be able to vote for a person to be in that sort of place of power and be representative of our country and all that jazz, you have to be able to level with their moral standpoints on
right.
all subjects, basically. So,
yeah, and,
you know.
But to me, what I think a lot of it came down to is, obviously, there were a lot of people tired of just, you know, the establishment, the elites, the government. And I get that.
Right.
I wholeheartedly understand that. Just seemed to me this wasn't the guy.
Yeah, no.
So, like, pick a champion, excuse me, who, you know, is more representative of not things that most people hate.
Right, yeah.
And what I'm hopeful for with this is, and this is, like, a lot of people said this, go, you know, at the beginning of the campaign, that he's just playing the game.
Right.
He's saying what he needs to, you know, get a base. And I'm hopeful that that's what he did.
Right.
You know, and that he's going to walk back a lot of the horrible, terrible things that he said.
Yeah, here's the thing. You know, I've felt right from the off, well, maybe not right from the off, because right from the start of his campaign, when there were like 14 people running for Republican, the Republican nomination. I mean, why I think he won the nomination was that, you know, he was saying the right things. But on his actual policy, he was a lot more fluid than everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, you had him lined up against Ben Carson, who basically knows nothing about modern politics. What's his face? With the big nose? No, not Chris Christie.
Big nose.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz, right. Ted Cruz, who's a theocrat, and basically everybody else, Chris Christie, doesn't have a great run, even as a governor, and everybody else who didn't have great runs at their previous political office, which is why they're trying to run for president, because they've been kicked out of their own office, right?
To an extent, I guess.
To an extent, yeah. I mean, that's a general
I mean,
covering.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, my main concern is that he was aligning himself with all these people, and he was aligning himself with, you know, certain ideals, and there was never any guarantee of what kind of president he was actually going to be. So, that's what makes me nervous.
Yeah, I mean, really, we got... There was never any plans given. You know, never any details, just so many generalities. And it's... The election, there was nothing, like, really about policy.
Right.
I've never seen that. And, you know, every other election that I've voted in, you know, I'm about to be 35, so I've been voting for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess 16 years, probably, so I'm 34 now. So I'm trying to think. The first presidential election I voted in was 2000.
Right.
So 2000, 04, 08, 012. This is the fifth one that I voted in.
Right.
And I've always been like, yeah, I had a preferred winner. I have never felt scared.
Right.
You know, or nervous at the thought of if, you know, my candidate lost. Which, and I can admit this, in all of my years voting, I've always voted for the one that won.
Right.
Like, back when I was younger...
This is my first loss, too.
Back when I was younger, I was Republican, because that's how I grew up.
Yeah.
You know, when I got to college, I held a lot of those views. And, you know, how I have thought and viewed the world has obviously progressed and changed in the 16 years since I went to college.
Right.
So, you know, Bush both times, I voted for him. And then, you know, I voted for Obama. And then this time, you know, I voted for Hillary. But it just seems like a very scary time. And I think a lot of the world is reacting the same way.
Right.
It's just like you have no idea what's going to happen. And that's a very scary thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not angry. I'm just scared.
Right.
You know? It's like that unknown that I don't think anyone has ever felt.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, you know, the main thing that I'm thinking about today is just listening to NPR this morning. I think it was either today or yesterday when he started getting the full-blown presidential security briefings on just a laundry list of freaking stuff, right? And a little while ago, when he did his fancy little rant on Twitter at 3 o'clock in the morning, his judgment was questioned as far as that thing is concerned, and some people wrote it off as ridiculous, and I kind of did too. Because, you know... this is why you have staff people for that sort of thing, especially once you get to office. But you know, it's like we're just waiting for something to slip out, waiting for something to, you know, he's just gonna go on a rant about something, and then have to delete a couple of tweets later because, you know,
when the damage could already be done,
he endangered national security. Yeah. That's what it is. So that's what's making me nervous right now. But, you know, so here's something interesting. Last night I was reading his list of things he wants to do in the first 100 days as president. And I gotta say, there were only two or three things that I disagreed with. The first one being... undoing all the executive action things that President Obama has done.
Right.
Which we could go into that list, but, you know, it's a long list. And includes, you know, people's rights, which is kind of important. The next thing was the building of the wall thing, which realistically is going to take, even if he does end up pursuing it, it's going to take a long time to even get it to the process of starting. Like,
was that actually on there?
It's on there.
I read last night, I don't remember where I read it, where one of his representatives said it was never an actual wall. It was like a metaphorical wall.
It says wall.
I hope that's the case.
Right. Yeah.
The things that worry me, and you just said it, people's rights.
Yeah.
You know, so many friends and family who have fought their entire lives to be considered equal.
Right.
You know, in the eyes of the government, in the eyes of society. And it's heartbreaking to think that they could lose their rights just because a bunch of, you know, right-leaning Christian, I want to say Christian peddling, because they peddle to the far right, you know, Christian base.
Yeah.
Are going to take away, you know, gay rights to be married and have a family.
Right.
I have, you know, lots of gay friends who are married and have kids. And I'm scared for them that they're going to lose that. And frankly, it's bullshit, and it shouldn't be up to the government whether they can get married or not.
Right.
It's nobody's business.
And I mean, we could go into the whole, because I actually spent a few days when this topic was being discussed in the Supreme Court, and eventually they decided on, you know, the fact that it should be legal. I actually read pretty deeply into the origins of marriage itself. Now, without getting into too many legalities or anything like that, it started out, the idea of marriage just started out as a business proposition. It was a business deal between one family and another, and it was usually done between the heads of houses, the men.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the line, it evolved to include a man marrying a woman, and then, as it always has in the past couple of thousand years, religion pokes its nose in and says, hey, we want to be part of it too. And that just all kind of morphed into what we think of as marriage today. So, you know, it's gonna be rough for a little while on a number of things.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see how it plays out. And, you know, I heard a lot of people, I hate saying I heard a lot of people saying, because then I sound like I'm Donald Trump.
Right.
But, you know, man, people said if he gets elected, he won't be there for that long. Like, he'll do something, he'll get impeached or indicted or whatever. And they like Mike Pence. And that, to me, is a scary proposition.
Yeah.
Because he supports conversion therapy.
Yeah.
You know, if you're gay. And, you know, that's insane.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. The only thing, you know, supporting that kind of person makes me concerned for the person that I'm talking to that supports such an individual. I do take some comfort in the fact that, you know, it's not like he's going to make that a law or anything right. like that. But, you know, this actually circles us back around to the primary reason why I don't like a Trump presidency, which is that it's not that I don't It's not that I don't hate Republicans or disagree with their policies. I disagree with some of them that have to do with individual rights and religion and you know, all that nitty-gritty stuff. But, it's not even that. It's the verification of an individual who is sexist, racist, supported by the KKK, supports conversion therapy, you know, it really does come down to, this is why we consider all of these personal life details about the president, because those types of things will influence how they view policy. Now, you gotta try and keep in mind that there's a difference between the man in the office, and it's not necessarily that he's gonna try and bring all of his personal shit into the office, but it's going to influence things in a certain way because of his judgment. And so, you know, the Electoral College has just given, you know, us this level of status that represents our country.
Well, the Electoral College hasn't technically done anything yet.
True.
And we were talking about this before we started.
Right.
And this is nutty. I mean, obviously, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by the slimmest of margins, like 200,000 votes.
Right.
And she lost because of, you know, which states, based on, you know, the amount of electoral college votes that each state has. So she didn't win the right. She didn't win the votes, you know, the popular vote in the right states.
Right.
But technically, so the December 19th is when the actual members of the Electoral College who were selected by the Democrat and the Republicans, the Republican committees for each state, they will cast their votes on December 19th for the president. And that is when it is actually officially settled, right?
Right.
There's laws in some states that says the electors have to, are like mandated to follow the state's vote, except the, I can't think of the word. If they do, the punishment is like, they can do it and become what's called a faithless elector.
Right.
Where they cast their vote for the other nominee because they don't want to. There were two out of Washington State who said if Hillary Clinton won Washington, they would not cast their vote for her because she doesn't, you know, carry their beliefs.
Right.
And technically, that could happen in most of the states where they say, I cannot, you know, vote for Donald Trump, even though he won our state as a Republican. I'm going to cast my vote for Hillary Clinton. And if that happens, then he is not the president, which is insane.
Right.
Like,
yeah, it's a little wonky.
Yeah, and I mean, I sent you the story in the New York Post, but I had read about it yesterday. That technically that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another month until December 19th.
Yeah.
Late Christmas miracle.
Yeah. Right.
Early Christmas miracle, but
somebody call Bob Cratchit.
Yeah, but it is plausible. Like, there are some punishments, like fine, you can be arrested.
Yeah,
but it's not, and that's only in like 20 states.
Right,
there's 30 where there is literally nothing stopping them from doing that.
Yeah,
so it'll be interesting.
It will be interesting. It'll be an interesting process, the whole transition, and then, you know, just imagine if they do the whole transition from Obama to Trump, which is being led by Chris Christie, by the way, because, you know, he's really good at running things.
Yeah. He's really good at getting bridges shut down.
I know, right. Anyway, it would be especially entertaining, I suppose, to have that transition happen and then have something happen with the electoral votes and then another transition to the Clinton administration.
Yeah, that would... it's going to be interesting. And, you know, I'm going to... Back to the unknown and the fear.
Right.
All of the alt-right and hate groups, you know, that just popped up and, you know, and gave, you know, Donald Trump their support, and they all came out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Their voices, like, it's like that they're now legitimized. They came and talked.
Yeah.
And that scares the ever-living shit out of me.
Have you seen the pictures on Twitter?
I saw some where there was a KKK marching across a bridge in North Carolina.
Yeah.
In the early hours of Wednesday.
North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, and there was another one in Missouri.
Like, that is horrifying.
Yeah.
And
I can't remember if I was talking about it with you or somebody on Facebook, because I've been talking about it with so many people over the past, you know, couple of days. You know, we were talking about it. We were talking about how, you know, our 3-year-olds, Emma and Maddie,
yeah,
they don't have a concept of what the president is yet. At least my kid doesn't. I don't know about you.
No.
You get a smart one over there. But they don't have a concept of what the president is, and now, as they grow up and learn what the president is, he is the first one that they are going to be looking at as, you know, the basically the model for what a president is.
Yeah, and I mean, think of this. So they're both 3.
Yeah.
Sophia's 5.5. More than 5.5. Sophia will be going on 10 when the next president comes.
Right.
And Sophia, or Maddie and Emma will be 7.
Yeah.
They'll understand at that point. Like, I remember elementary school, you know, understanding who the president was and the prestige of the office.
Right.
And having respect for it. And, like, that's someone that you look up to.
Right.
And that him being their first experience is it's scary.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a very delicate balance that we're going to have to take, where it's, you know, we should always have respect for this person because of this office that they hold.
Yeah.
And yet... you can still disagree with the individual who is in the office, and you can still, you know, it's going to be weird. But you know what? It's at this point, as I get more settled into it, you know, into what the next 4 years is going to be like, it's just going to be another one of those things where, as far as our kids are concerned, it's going to have to just be, when the time comes, the time comes, and we're going to handle it however we're going to handle it then. You know.
You know, it's going to be interesting. I'm not rooting for him to fail, because if he fails, then our country fails.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I want nothing more than for him to be a successful president who, like he said in his, you know, victory speech, where somehow he came across incredibly gracious and not at all like he was for the last 16 months.
Right. And his verbiage on Muslims has been actually pulled from his website.
Yeah, it was he had a link that went to his announcement where he called for, you know, the ban of any Muslims entering the country.
Right.
And that link now redirects to, really redirect to, like, donating to his campaign.
Right. And, another thing that I noticed was when I was reading the first 100 days thing, it was something to the effect of, immediately closing our borders, but the language, this is the first time I'm reading it, so I don't know if the language has changed or this is what they're going to be pointing to now that that stuff, the, you know, about the removal of Muslims and that sort of thing is no longer there. But basically what it said was the immediate shutdown of immigration from countries that we do not have a solid, dependable vetting system from. So it's now, as of that, it's no longer shutting it off to everybody. It's shutting it off from countries where the system that they go through before actually coming here isn't on the same level of security as ours once they get here.
Right.
That sort of thing. So the language is changing a little bit, in some ways a lot of it, now that he has actually won. And we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting. I mean,
yeah.
It's just it's gonna be a lot of wait and see.
Yeah.
And I will try to be hopeful, and I will want him to be successful because that means that our country is successful.
Right.
And I hope that the divide that has, you know, been going on in our country for the last 8 years because the GOP was out of its damn mind.
Right.
I hope that that bridge can be, you know, that gap can be bridged.
Yeah, and you know, to that point, it's now a question of, it's no longer a question of will the Republican Party change. It is changing. It's in the middle of changing. It's going to be a different creature by the time his presidency ends, his first term at least. So the concern and the question mark is, what is it going to change into? What is it going to become? We don't know. All fun stuff. In the meantime, I have started researching for my possible candidacy for the House of Representatives in 2018. I keep thinking about it. I can't get it out of my head. So I figure I might as well look up everything I can about it, just in case.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a lot of money, though. You got anything?
I got nothing.
You got a dollar?
I can give you a dollar.
Hey, man.
Hey, do you want to sponsor a podcast and help me run for office?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see.
It'll be interesting.
The main thing that I have noticed, by the way, about the elections in our district, I think you're in the same district as I am. I don't know. So I'm in District 6, which is just the weirdest fucking shape I have ever seen in my life. It's 86% white people. But in the last four elections, the Republican candidate has only won by like 2%.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a chance. I don't have a law degree or anything, but I think it's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the lines are like that because of gerrymandering, because
yeah, I know.
You know. But hopefully lines can get redrawn so that they actually make sense. And like, it's not just, you know...
Like, look at Texas. Texas has a lot of ones that make sense. It's just a whole bunch of blocks. And it gets kind of, like, the blocks get a little funky as it gets closer to Dallas and closer to Austin. But, you know, it's like a big, comfy Tetris pile. Exactly. Nothing weird going on there. Anyway, so I'd say that our general opinion between the both of us, and I guess the opinion of this show, is that we're certainly not excited, and we're concerned about a lot of things, but at the same time, you know, we understand that we're not really going to know what kind of president he's going to be until, like, a year, 2 years from now.
Yeah.
We
will be active.
Yes.
We will fight for the right, not the party.
Not to party.
We will fight for the rights of our, you know, fellow countrymen,
right,
or fellow citizens. You know, if rights are trying to be taken away, I will fight tooth and nail against that. You know, I've sat on the sidelines for a long time, and now it's time to not. You know?
Yeah, you're sounding very Thomas Jefferson right now. It's pretty great. I want to get you a pointy hat. Not that kind of pointy hat.
Okay. My birthday's coming up, so.
Yeah, exactly. That gets you a trifold and a jacket you can tuck your one hand into. There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Right. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. And you know what? If you guys have concerns, questions, just wanna talk about anything, because the best thing that we can do is not just sit by ourselves and make assumptions about things. The best thing that we can do is discuss these types of things, and continue to be educated by each other and by the information that's out there, and just paying attention and talking about everything. So if you feel the need to talk, reach out to us. You can find all our information on poppinbottlesdadcast.com, and we're on the tweets and the Instagrams at PBDadcast.
Hit us up. And we'll get through everything together.
Yep. Yeah. We'll hold hands, kumbaya, you know, all the shit that Newt Gingrich hates. Because, you know, I just love annoying the shit out of that guy. Anyway, he makes his face. He makes his face. Anyway, sorry. Getting off track. All right. Well, I hope everybody has a good week, despite if your person won or lost. And we'll see you next time around.